Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome again to Whiskey Congress. We have another whiskey to talk about. We have Pike Creek Canadian whiskey, our first Canadian whiskey, mm-hmm. I believe.
That's your choice.
It was my choice. I purchased it. It's finished in rum barrels. It's got a 10-year age statement. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan.
Me neither.
Okay. I mean,
you it's know got why? A little, it's because got there's no flavor.
Well, it's got maple, which I don't care for in a whiskey.
Right. There's maple, which Canada, so it fits, but I mean, and it's faint, and there's not a lot else to really distinguish it. I mean, it's 84 proof, and the presentation's cool. It looks a nice bottle.
It was not expensive. It was like a $20, $25 bottle. I forget which, but
it's, you got what you paid for.
I didn't get what I paid for because I bought lots of bottles for less that were better.
True.
I'm going to give it an 85. I'm being a bit generous.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's being generous, but it is what it is. So
I mean, it's not gross. It's not like spit it out.
But, I'll take pictures of something else.
But I can tell you this: that bottle will be around my liquor cabinet a lot longer than most.
Right. I mean, it may be one that we can just use as a shooter to burn through. I mean, because I feel like you could shoot it pretty easy because it's not. I mean,
I wouldn't feel bad shooting it.
There's no bite to it at all. There's also no anything else.
In its defense, it is actually kind of smooth. It's just.
It is, but it's almost too smooth. Where
it's
there's
like
there's
round. Just, it's like malty, mapley, and just not good.
Right, but I don't know. It's definitely. But to me, this is standard for Canada. This is this is what Canada produces on a pretty regular basis when it comes to whiskey. Whether it's
I've heard there's some really good Canadian whiskey out there.
I've heard it too. I've just yet to experience.
Right. I mean the best Canadian whiskey I've probably had is Crown, which is
right?
What's better? I mean,
listen, I mean
I've only had a handful. Canadian Club is what steelworkers from
where we grew up. You grew up in Buffalo. I grew up in Youngstown.
Canadian Club was the shot of choice in most bars, yeah.
I mean, I've introduced you to a Stiletto, right?
I don't think you have.
Yeah, Stiletto is a shot of chilled Canadian Club and floated with a touch of amaretto. That is literally the shot of, you go to Youngstown, Ohio, you ask for a Stiletto, you will get that every time. There's not a bartender in Youngstown who doesn't know what a Stiletto is.
Okay. I mean, I've never heard of that.
But you either make it with Canadian Club or Seagram any of 7. The Seagrams or I think Black Velvet, any of those.
Okay.
Right? Any of those Canadian whiskeys with a floater of amaretto on it. And it's ruined many a nights for me.
Okay. I will say that I was hoping to find something interesting with this bottle, you know.
Well, here's the thing about whiskey. And whiskey, even cigars as well. You look at pictures or you look at a bottle in the store. And it's all about presentation, right? Bottle looks great.
Sure.
Right? Or they do this write-up.
As I glance over the bottle of Lusty Claw.
God, don't even go back there. But they do these write-ups, and they tell you all the ingredients that are in them. And it's whiskey. They're cigars. Like, it all comes down to timing and water and the wood and luck. Right? Like, I mean, maybe it's good.
There's a lot of art to it as well.
Well, there is a lot of
art
to it.
There's art and science.
And there's no fucking way to tell when you're standing in a store looking at a bottle if it's going to be good or not.
Right.
Right? And I catch myself doing that all the time. I'm like, oh, this looks good. And then I'm like, why does it look good? It looks like everything else. You know, it's a little darker. It's a little lighter. But you really can't tell. You don't know. Every time you buy a new bottle you haven't had before, it's a gamble. And sometimes with some of these, you know, with some of these smaller distilleries, like, it's a gamble even if you've bought that same bottle. Like, Cleveland Whiskey, you know, they pump out, you know, different batches and they make little tweaks and changes so it may say Cleveland Whiskey on it. You know, our boys over on the downtown.
On the east side,
In here in Cleveland. But sometimes flavors vary, you know. So, I mean, there's only so much you can tell from the outside. But this one, not a winner for me, but again, I'm not a fan of Canadian whiskey unless it's in the form of my natural habitat.
Which is the
Stiletto.
Yeah, all right, 85 for Pike Creek 10-year. So, and the reason I was excited for this, by the way, is it does have a 10-year age statement. And you're all about two things, right? Age statements and, mm-hmm. and ABV.
And age statements are important because, they're going away, right? Like, so distance makes the heart grow fonder. But you're seeing less age statements because there's been such a run on whiskey lately. So it's nice to know that something sat and aged for a little while and was able to develop some character. And it wasn't just a bunch of stuff mixed together that right. sat in a barrel for, 3 years and they pumped it out to meet demand.
Right. All right, man.
So before we get into it, sir. Just so everyone knows, please listen to the end because this show ends with a conversation about murder birds.
Murder birds.
Birds that murder.
Should we just jump to that? No, we should not. We should not because, all right, so we people listen to us for politics and this has been a weird political week. A lot of Democrats are, trying to push the impeachment thing. Some of the Democratic leadership is saying, it's not worth it. I've watched way too much Fox News and CNN this week, more than I'd care to admit. And I'm just of the opinion, we're probably not on the same page here. It's a losing battle. It is simply not going to, it's not going to result in Trump being removed from office, even if there was a case, which I'm not sure there is. Just because I don't like someone doesn't mean he's impeachable. And I just think it's a losing cause. Even if it goes through the House and succeeds, it will not go through the Senate, and it'll fuck up 2020, in my opinion. And that's my big concern. Democrats should be focusing on how do we win in 2020, not how do we poke the current president with a stick.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, I know where some of these Dems, these Democrats, where their heads are.
Sure, and, I get it.
It is. They are just blinded by. Some of it is rage. Some of it, I think, is stupidity. Some of it is greed. Of it is,
political ambition, I think, is part of it.
Political ambition, the desire for spotlight, grandstanding, gaslighting, whatever you want to call it. That's a lot to do with it, right? I mean, they're just throwing this shit out there just so that they can say, look at me, look what I did. Do they actually care about the actual outcome? I can't believe it because there's no way that you can look at everything that's in front of you and think that, well, impeachment is a good idea. You don't have the Senate, right? Like, you have the Congress, but do you have the numbers in Congress for impeachment to even get to the Senate? And you have to know that once it gets to the Senate that it's dead on arrival, right? You don't have control.
And it's not even like 51 right. votes I mean, gets not, there. You right. need 60, I think. Right. Maybe 66.
Right. I mean, it's not close. So it's ridiculous. And a lot of people are saying, well, you have to do this. You have to have another investigation because, and this is one of the arguments for what the Democrats are doing right now. And even there's maybe a small number of Republicans, but they're pushing to get it into the public record, right? So the Mueller report wasn't public, right? I mean, it's something that has been made public, but
redacted.
It's redacted, right? So there's a big push to get the unredacted version, and then we have another investigation so that we can get everything that happened out in the open, out in the public record, so everyone knows for sure, and then that's what they can use to figure out what happens with this president next. Now, the issue with this is, look, if you go this route, it took Mueller and his team, who had one job and one job only, 2 years to, put this report together and get it out. And there's maybe an argument to be made that they rushed the ending because of the new attorney general. Right, Attorney General Barr comes in and says, "Look, you've had 2 years. I want to see this thing wrapped up, and don't put in your report that I'm telling you to wrap it up, but wrap it up." They pulled out the wrap it up box from the Chappelle Show. And listen, I think a lot of us had grown weary of Mueller report fatigue, sure, without having anything to really you know, it was all speculation. So I'm not terribly upset about that. But the reality is that that's the only thing that the Mueller team was focused on, right? Was getting that report, was doing the research to put that report together and get it out. Congress, you've got a country to run, to legislate for.
Right.
So you're only going to be able to put so much time into this. You're only going to have so many hearings and interviews and you're only going to have so many of these per week, per month over the course of time. So this is going to take at least another 2 years.
Right. At which time.
Right. So, I mean,
focus on winning the election, right, not the, all right, and, run and the same page.
We are on the same page. I've been on the same page. I've said,
yeah, no, you
from well before the Mueller report was released that, you know, using this to chase impeachment, unless there was a clear and evident smoking gun of him, you know, bending the knee, Game of Thrones reference, bending the knee to Vladimir Putin, it's a waste of time.
Agreed.
Right? And you know, there's a lot of people, and the people pushing for the whole obstruction thing, listen, first of all, you know, when the Mueller report first dropped, my main focus was, I was concerned about the Russian interference.
Right.
That's what
which we've established was a real thing, right?
Was a real thing.
Okay.
Right, and
there are people still arguing that Russia did clearly favor Trump. We talked about it last week,
and that was something that to me that was the important thing, and not so much that Trump took advantage of it. Right, I mean, like he did, and guess what? I guarantee you, a Democrat in his position would have used the information the same way. I would like to think that they would have been a little bit more stealthy about it, but it would have happened. Right. And so my biggest concern was, how do we prevent this from happening again? Right. Or how do we slow it down? How do we make it not, how do we reduce their ability to influence in the way that they did? Right. And I think that's a huge question that really isn't going to get answered because social media, period. Right. That's the kind of the beginning and the end. Right. Everybody's got a voice, which is great, which is also terrible.
Right.
Right. And so
and the president can literally skip the press conferences and just say, I'm going to tweet this, whatever.
Right.
Fact, did you see Trump got mad because he accused Twitter of cutting off his number of followers when, in fact, it was just like a bot purge?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But,
this conversation with conservatives about Twitter and, you know, they censor and they screen and there's some... There's some legitimacy to that, and I think that Twitter needs to answer for that. But some of it isn't. It's not the giant grand conspiracy that some will make it out to be.
Right. A lot of them make it out to be on Twitter.
Right. Exactly. Right. Like you're making this argument that Twitter is just censoring. And I don't agree with you. You're a fucking idiot. And this conversation is happening. So where is the censorship? But. You know, aside from that, but it frustrates me that we don't have better minds and leadership in the government across the board, right? That can't see, like, listen, at some point in time, you have to get over this whole thing of Russian interference, and you have to, you have to get over the thing of collusion, you have to get over this obstruction thing. I always thought the obstruction thing was weak because... If you don't have the collusion aspect,
say conspiracy, because you're the one who was always correcting me on that.
Well, no, but the idea of collusion, okay. what it created, right? And if you don't have actual conspiracy to blank, whatever that might be, right? Then the obstruction charge is a tack on, right? And we see this all the time, like every day, police do this, right? Like it's, you know, they're going to arrest you, you get mouthy with a police officer. Then they hit you with a resisting arrest charge.
Right.
Right? Or disorderly conduct, or obstruction, right? It's that tack-on charge, like to just because you pissed off the person who's in charge of arresting power, you, sure. Right?
Yep.
And so the whole obstruction thing was never a focus of mine unless it was legitimate obstruction. And listen, Robert, and they lay out 10, but like understanding the legal requirements for obstruction and looking at those 10 particular items. Of the 10, maybe there were 3 that I think that were legit. And I think that there are 7 that had, and the I think a big reason why Mueller didn't bring charges over obstruction was because White House counsel says, oh, by the way, you can't indict a sitting president.
Right.
So,
the report almost right, says
and,
that,
and,
right?
And it the report says does say right. that, but in the reality, if you look at the 10 instances that could have been considered obstruction, of the 10, 7 of them were complete garbage, right? And from a legal standpoint, like I think that if Robert Mueller brings that to court, and I'm defending Trump, right? Not that I would ever be, but I mean he had Michael Cohen, so then I'm pretty sure that of the 10, I could beat down 7 of those pretty easily.
Okay. But three others.
But you're saying there were 3 others that were not as ridiculous. That okay, maybe
he can make it. In most cases, though, the action, like he may or may not have told someone to do something, but they didn't do it.
Right, and that's the thing, right? I mean, so it's just like he tried. It's one of those instances where he tried to step on his own dick, but his dick was too short.
look at you. All right. The Mueller report is. By the way, this whiskey is really not good.
Not good.
It's the more I'm drinking it, the more I'm like.
I'm annoyed with the amount that I poured in this glass.
I'm happy with the amount you poured in that glass because you got to finish yourself. It now.
I don't.
True. You could dump it on the floor or throw it at me, but you would take out my computer in doing so. There's collateral damage if you try that.
Collaterally bad.
Democratic field expanded by 1. Joe Biden has officially announced. He's taken some heat from how he handled the Anita Hill thing, which honestly, it's amazing he got this far without having taken that heat.
The weird thing about Joe Biden, I'm not a huge fan. I'm really not. I never have been.
I have been. I'm not happy with him right now, but I am a Joe Biden fan.
Weird. But
okay.
I just, the guy, like, listen, I was young when he was, pushing for the crime bill. It was the Biden and, oh my God, what's that guy's name?
I don't remember.
He co-sponsored a crime bill in the early 90s. And he just, I don't know, like the things that he said then, and a lot of people want to go at him about Anita Hill. The issue with Anita Hill is that he didn't control that situation well, right? Like, I mean, the Republicans
He and other Democratic senators.
The Republicans came in with a plan to completely discredit her and tear her to the ground. They did nothing to stop it. They hemmed, they hawed, they allowed her to just get eviscerated by the Republicans.
Right.
And he did a bad job of moderating that. And if you want to hold that over his head, fine. I have no issue with it. But my bigger issue is he pushes this crime bill and his justification is these thugs need to go to jail. I don't care what their reason is. I don't care that they had it tough. I don't care about the environments that they grow in. I don't care they grow up in. I don't care about, the social problems. I don't care about any of the issues that got them to making the decisions that they're making. They've made the decisions. They need to go to jail. And then from that point forward, we lose a generation of people who look like me for the pettiest of reasons, right? Like from anything from, people were getting arrested for jaywalking. People are getting arrested for, small amounts
of marijuana possession.
Yeah, marijuana possession is a huge indicator. But you're seeing, you saw the police treat people who look like me completely different than people who look like you. And we could be doing the same exact thing, right? And that led to literally the loss of a generation of young men. And so what's interesting now is that conservatives like, Larry Elder and James Woods and Rashawn Hannity and Candace Owens are, well, the problem with the black community is that there's no black men in the community. There's no black fathers. Where are the black fathers? Well, they're in fucking jail. Why are they in fucking jail? Because you decide to throw them in jail for weed possession or breaking a window or jumping a turnstile or whatever it might be. Now, those are extreme cases, but I mean, it was literally out of control, right? I mean, and here's the thing. If you want to say rule of law is key, fine. Then enforce it equally across the board.
Wait a minute. I'm white, and I don't like that idea at all.
Weird. Why, Jim?
Because I'm white. No, I mean, I joke about this. I don't want to talk about cannabis in too much detail, but clearly...
Why is that, Jim?
No reason. Oh. I've admitted to using cannabis. I've admitted to using CBD.
Oh, okay.
I have not admitted to anything else, and I'm going to stick with that for now.
Well, when you say I've admitted to using cannabis and I've admitted to using CBD, you literally, those are the words you just said.
Yes.
We're recording it. Yes, we can run back, and you said you haven't admitted to doing anything else. Oh, okay.
Fake news. I have not admitted to doing anything else. All right, I just want to totally derail this now because I don't like where this is going. And so Biden also brought up Charlottesville.
Here's my thing.
Oh, sorry.
Biden a viable candidate for the president of the United States? The short answer,
no, was my answer.
The short answer is probably yes. Right? If you can get past, if you can get out of the primaries and get to the general, maybe. Right? Now, is he a good candidate? Is he the person that I want to see? No.
Yeah, I've been a fan of the guy for a long time.
I don't know why.
I don't either. I remember him getting derailed for being accused of plagiarism back in 1988. Now, I'm old. We've established that. That was considered, then that was a political death sentence. Now it's a joke. I thought he did a good job as vice president. I thought he was a good...
You thought he did what?
I thought it was a good job. I thought he was a good vice president.
Who the fuck cares about the president? What?
Well,
how do you do a bad job of being the vice president? Don't get yourself killed.
You have two choices. You can do the Dick Cheney thing and actually run things behind the scenes and do a bunch of stuff, fucked up shit. Or you can do the Dan Quayle thing and be just like someone pretty to stand in the corner and get patted on the head. I thought Joe Biden was an active, viable.
It's fine.
Let's save this for the barstool, not the people
that are going to
argue. Anyway. You wanted to finish your thought about him as a viable candidate. Yeah, you're probably right. If it was Biden versus Trump, he probably has a fairly good chance. I think he does appeal to...
I think he's got a chance because to cut you off intentionally, and I'm sorry.
That's all right.
He does appeal to a... He appeals to a demographic that can maybe pull some from those that might vote for Trump. Right? There are some people who may have voted for Trump last time, who don't necessarily have an issue with, like, if you look at the economy, you're like, all right, Trump's doing well.
Yeah.
Right? But then there's all the other shit that swirls around, and you're like, you know what? I'm tired of it. Right? And academics and, the people who get into the weeds are going to say, well, you have to look at all these other things. You can say whatever you want. But the average voter isn't looking at the things you want them to look at, right?
It's the economy, stupid.
Right. Like you can throw all the data points that you want out there and all this fancy research that you've done that you've pulled from this and that. But ultimately, the average voter isn't looking at your research. They don't give a shit about it, right? They care about what the candidate looks like, literally what they look like. What do they sound like? And do they say things that make them feel good about themselves?
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
Right? And so Joe Biden can do that for a certain demographic. And so is he a viable candidate? Probably if he can get through the primary. The issue with the primary is that the Democratic side is in cannibalism mode right now.
Right.
Right? I mean, they're
pre-cannibalism mode, right? They're now assembling the forces of cannibals.
Early stages of cannibalism, but the point is people are drawing lines in the sand.
Yes.
Right? Just division.
I'm not a socialist. I am a socialist.
Whether it's socialism or capitalism or, progressive, gay, straight, and LGBT, trans.
Free college, black, no free college.
Right. Like, I mean, tax, healthcare, all that stuff. But people are drawing these lines. And then now you have this really fractured group of people who the only thing that binds them is that they all hate Donald Trump, right? The only thing that holds them together is that they all hate Donald Trump. Other than that, it's like it's just rah, rah, rah,
right.
fight each other. Like, no, you don't, Pete, you're not gay enough. Bernie, you're not, You're not whatever socialist enough. You know, you supported guns, and you know, Kamala Harris, you're not black enough, and Cory Booker, you're too vegan, and what I mean,
is he vegan?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Right, he's
that,
vegan, and he's pushing for
any chance he had of getting my vote just went away.
Yeah, that's a hard one for me. I mean, it is really hard when he's attacking meat, and I'm like, I need to go bench 500 pounds. Go fuck you. It just, you know, I think that the Democrats, if they can survive themselves and come up with, I think it's got to be somebody other than Joe Biden. Here's the other issue with Joe Biden. That nigga ain't got no money.
Not yet, but he will draw money from
past. Bernie's got 20 million.
Kamala's got. Buttigieg got like 9 or 7 or something.
Kamala Harris has 18 million. Buttigieg has got 12, right? Like,
I don't think Biden will struggle getting money.
Biden has always struggled getting money.
Well,
it's factual. You can look it up.
Okay, I don't have. Know that. Okay.
He has struggled raising money for campaigns because he doesn't like to ask people for money.
He also, right?
Here's the other part of this. You want to get elected president you want to be the Democratic candidate. You need to be able to prove that you're not taking money from big corporate pharma or whatever, right? So you got to have a grassroots campaign. He doesn't have anybody on the fucking ground. He just said that he just rolled his campaign out, and there was he didn't have anybody out there, you know, working those little corners of the Midwest saying, hey, vote for Joe. You need that shit. Like, you got to be able to prove that you can raise, you know. You need 1,000 people to throw in 15, 25 bucks who are willing to give up their shot.
That's what Bernie did, right?
Right. Yep. Like, I mean, you need people willing to give up, especially in the Midwest, right? Because he's, you know, Delaware, PA. I think he's from Scranton originally. You know, he lives in Delaware. So he's got a connection to that kind of blue collar East Coast,
sure,
into the Midwest a little bit style. So he's got to be able to say, hey, I need you to be willing to give up your shot in the beer after work to donate to my campaign so I can fight for you. That's what he's got to be able to prove, and that's what he's got to be able to do if he really wants to win, this spot, sure, you know, this shot at taking down Trump. And I don't know if he can actually do it because he hasn't proven that he could do it before.
Well, so...
And name recognition is only going to get you so far.
8 years as vice president, I think, goes a long way, especially when it's 8 years.
Today. It's different today. If you look at who is on the landscape, right, these people are velociraptors. They are going after everything. They will dig up everything from your past. Oh, you were the vice president for 8 years? Well, before that, you introduced this crime bill, you roasted Anita Hill, and, oh, by the way, you had this whole scandal with the savings and loans and the banks and all that other shit. Right?
All right.
You know, and what about your scumbag son? Like, one of his sons, well, his son that's still alive, his son died, he's skeevy.
All right.
Everything
you said could be said about Trump, it just doesn't stick to him. Which I'm not using that as an argument. That's not an argument.
It's fine. I get it.
No, I think the Democrats need to be smart enough to say, just because, well, we can say, so did you, that doesn't work in both directions, and it might not be fair, whatever, but it's the reality. I mean, when Trump said I could shoot someone in the face on Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote.
Which he did say.
That's not fake news. That's not fake news. He said those words.
National television.
And he was probably telling the truth.
Yeah, I mean, it's hyperbole, but it's still absurd that someone would say it. And yeah, but you can't, Trump isn't your measuring stick.
No.
He's not.
But beating Trump is.
Beating Trump is, and...
That's why I'm still Tulsi's. I'm still in Tulsi's corner.
Who?
Tulsi Gabbard.
Who?
Tulsi Gabbard.
Right. You see what I'm saying? Who?
Yeah, you're saying.
Right. That's where she's going to be in, I don't know, 6 months. Who the fuck cares?
We'll see.
You remember Carly Fiorina?
I do.
Right. I mean, like, what were her? I'm sure there was some guy like you out there rooting for Carly Fiorina.
Well, this guy is rooting for Tulsi Gabbard.
All right. Well, good luck.
All right. Let's move on to the Trump and Biden on Charlottesville, because this is kind of weird.
Yeah, so Biden, you know, Biden announces yesterday, early Thursday, that he's going to, run for president. Right. And he puts out this video that's very, very standard elders, statesmen. You know, there's images of the Statue of Liberty and bald eagles and, you know, the whole America first concept. And, you know, he gives his spill, and then he evokes Charlottesville. He talks about how the president said there were fine people on both sides, and that's when Biden knew that, you know, the world was, you know, off its tilt. And, you know, Trump came back and basically doubled down on what he said. He said that he was specifically talking about the people who wanted to make sure that the Robert E. Lee monuments weren't torn down in Charlottesville. But he wasn't necessarily referring to the Tiki white Torch, the white nationalists. Right. But he doubles down and says it was the perfect thing to say at the time. Right? And so I think it's an interesting strategy by Biden to go there, right? Because a lot of your Democratic candidates to this point have tried to be forward-looking, right? Like, they'll make reference to the Mueller report and say we need to figure out what happened, but then they really want to talk about change in the future and being positive and all that other stuff. And Biden comes out and just like, yo, remember this? This sucked. This is a low point. This is a bad moment. Let's remember that when we go to the polls.
Come November, yep.
Right? And I think I like the move strategically.
You're talking about from Biden now?
From Biden? Okay. Yeah, I think I like the move because, you know, it's kind of just that you know, kind of gritty street fight move of, oh, no. I'm not going to play nice. I won't play dirty. This is you being a dick. Look at you. This is you being a dick. What's your move? And Trump's move was, fuck you, I'll double down. I'll double down on me being a dick, and I will tell you that I am just fine with what I said, and it was the perfect thing to say at the time. Right? He can't own it and just say, I messed up.
Sure.
It was a mess. It's a bad thing. Whatever. Let's move on. No. Trump is just like, nope, I said the right thing. I said what I said, and it was perfect. So I do like Biden's approach there. And when I say that, I mean, I just like it from the idea of I like the game. I like the chess match, the strategy, right? Am I a fan of Biden? No. But if I'm advising his team, would I have done that? The answer is probably yes, right? Like I like how that helps to position Biden. Now, is he going to be able to carry that forward? Right, I don't know, because again, it matters that he doesn't have people on the ground doing the grassroots effort for him right now. I think he's going to get a lot of money from big money, and that's not going to go over well with the people that are voting in the primary.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to think of a time when a candidate's financial backers actually worked against
him. Stop looking back. This is now. This is now. And listen, there's a reason why you can go online right now and you can look at how much money a candidate has and where the money's come from. People are looking at it, right? And they're worried and there's a true concern. Like, if you're taking money from these big, from
the Koch brothers, right, from George Soros,
then
yeah,
can they manipulate you?
I mean, it gets said all the time. I just don't know that anyone's actually been burned for that.
They haven't in the past, but this isn't the past. We're looking at an election that's happening in 2020.
This is the future,
right? Like, I mean, no, like, and this, you got to keep
you
up.
You could be right.
You got to keep. I mean, and this isn't a knock on you, but this isn't the 2016 election.
I think you're giving 2012. People too much credit.
I don't think you're giving enough credit to how things have changed. Listen, I'm not saying they're smarter, and I'm not saying this is right, and I'm not saying that it matters, right? Because until you get the money, the actual big money out of politics, and you say that these big corporations, you limit it, and you say no one can donate more than $5,000 to any campaign across the board for no reason, for no matter what, period. Until you do that, doesn't matter.
All right.
But now, people are trying to control it on their own by saying, if you've taken $100,000 from Wall Street, then fuck you. If you've taken, you know, $80,000 from Big Pharma, fuck you. Right? If you're taking $25,000 from the NRA, fuck you. Right? But if you've raised $12 million from, you know, a million people donating $100, right? Is that right? Did I do the math right? I don't know.
Wasn't being...
But either way, right? But if you get a bunch of people to donate a small dollar amount in three digits, then all of a sudden, all right, genuine, that means that you're getting money from the right place. And that's something that people are looking at. You may not be looking at it, but I guarantee, like, there's enough data out there to say that there's enough people looking at it where it matters.
Okay.
On the left. Right? Right? Conservatives, Republicans, they don't give a fuck.
Okay. That part I agree with, that there is definitely a bias against big money industry from the left. But I don't know that anyone would change... they'll probably change their votes in a primary. In an actual election, I don't think that would change anyone's vote.
The primary is
a mess. I mean, there's 20 right, you, fucking candidates. Steve.
Right.
You, 20.
Right.
We haven't talked about Tim Ryan, by the way, who represents your next neck of the woods. Next show, we have to talk about
that. So I did dig into Tim Ryan, by the way. So they changed the congressional districts.
Okay.
And so Tim Ryan took over part of Jim Trafficant's old district.
Okay.
But not the whole thing, right. And that's why it was a little bit confusing for me, because the district doesn't exist anymore.
I think I say people are hearing us finish a conversation we had between us.
Is it not on the show?
No.
That was just
you and me at the bar.
My bad.
We talked about Tim Ryan and that whole thing came up. So no, that is not it.
Anyway. But Tim Ryan is a congressman from the Youngstown area that I know personally and have worked with. And then his predecessor, Jim Trafficant, actually signed my thing to get into West Point, and so I knew him personally as well. And now Tim Ryan is running for president.
And off to a slow start, I think. But
in a normal setting, you know, however many years ago, you know, 10, 15 years ago, probably a really viable candidate. I just don't know if he'll even be in the last 10 men standing when it's all said and done.
You said men.
People.
All right. So real quick, Hillary put out an op-ed, and it kind of said some of what we talked about earlier. Her basic point in the op-ed was there's a lot that was shown by the Mueller report. Don't rush to judgment and try to force an impeachment. She does know a fair bit about that, having been the wife of a president who was impeached. My thought on that whole thing is, Hillary, I'm done with you. And if you feel the same way about Biden, I don't blame you. Because to me, they represent, like, here's what
the
lost.
The lollipop guild.
Yeah, here's what lost.
Here's the deal. And I think, on the one hand, you know, Hillary is just, she's, I think there's a chance that she's holding out that the death early and long enough that she can jump in and try to come and save the day. I still think I
completely agree with you.
I believe that.
In fact, it concerns me that that's why she wrote this.
Yes. Now, that being said, I do give Hillary a certain level of respect. Like, listen, lady has accomplished a lot.
Yeah. Her resume an amazing career.
It's absurd, right? And you know, she went backseat because of Bill Clinton's career. But obviously she was no slouch. And you may not like her politics, but, I mean, she got herself to the precipice and all, you know, all that knowledge and everything kind of failed her in that moment, because I don't think a younger Hillary, you know, had Hillary maybe, you know, well, you know, she lost to Obama, and that was just, I don't think there was anything
that was to
stop it. But if, you know, if you move it, right, if you shift the other side, the back, right, and you put Trump against Hillary in
2008,
you know, in 2008, I don't think Trump is able to beat Hillary, because I don't think that she has that lapse in judgment to not go to places where she should have gone, to not spend money in places where she should have spent money. She would have been stronger. She, you know, you probably wouldn't have had the fainting incident, and, you know, there's this, I think, and part of it, I think part of her age is the issue why she's got a server in her house, right? Like, she's older and she wants to do things at home. She doesn't want to be running around on Capitol Hill as much. So she's like, listen, just like, can't I do this shit from home? And they're like, no, not really, you know?
Well, but I mean,
and then they tried to do it anyway, and they did it, and you have this whole thing with the server, but that's what that's all really about, right?
I don't know. When it comes to that, I tend to give people a pass, because I genuinely don't think she knows shit about IT. I just don't.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But that, I think she doesn't. And I think that's age is related to that, where she's like, well, I got a computer. I got a computer in my office. I got a computer at home. So just make my computer at home like the one in my office and let me do what I need to do from home. And they're like, well, security, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm Hillary Clinton. Fucking figure it out. So they do, and it becomes a nightmare. Right? And I think that's directly related to age. So I think if you roll back, and if Donald Trump, all things being the same, but Hillary Clinton is, you know, 8 years younger, I don't think Donald Trump actually ends up becoming president. Right? Because I just don't think that she, in her mind, based off what I know about her, the things that she's accomplished, the way she's accomplished, like, she's a fucking shark. She's a cutthroat shark who knows how to get shit done. But
sure.
I just think she just ran out of stamina for this, whether she wants to admit it or not.
And then, so back to the point that got us here is, I think this op-ed concerns me that she has not given up on 2020. And
I think
there's nothing the Democrats can do worse than nominate Hillary again.
But what I do believe, though, is that the Democratic Party is so fractured. And you have enough of those fractures and pieces that don't like Hillary that she wouldn't, I don't think that she could become the nominee.
Well, it's also gotten to the point where we know in 2016 she got the nomination in large part because the Clinton Foundation was funding the DNC.
And they've changed a lot. A lot of that has changed in terms of how the DNC operates and superdelegates and all that other shit.
Great.
But now we'll still see how it all works out. I mean, I still don't trust the DNC as far as I could throw them. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But
yeah, anyway, the op-ed piece is worth a read. But
why? It's not.
All right. You know what? You're right. It's not. You know what's worth talking about is Murder Birds, but we're not there yet.
Not here yet.
No.
We're getting there.
We will talk about Murder Birds.
We are about to talk about a topic that I am very emotionally invested in. You know what? We're about to talk about the city of Baltimore.
B-more.
I used to work a lot in Baltimore. I spent a lot of time there trying to develop affordable housing. Had some really successful projects there that I'm really proud of. And, you know, worked with some great people. Some not so great people and everything in between, but it was a great experience for me. Just being in a different setting, learning how a place works that's completely different than where I come from, and being able to help a large segment of people who don't get a lot of attention, seniors and families that are lower income and that are trying to get a better life and who live in really, really terrible situations in old, moldy, asbestos-ridden apartments that have been up for 60 years, and being able to go and rip the walls down to the studs and rebuild the places where they live to give them a better environment to live and to give them a better opportunity, which is something that I will always immensely be proud of. And while I was there, the mayor of Baltimore, Mayor Pugh, she came into office and she made that job exceptionally harder. Her office was not very cooperative. She put some people in charge of housing who came from different places who were incredibly difficult to deal with, who didn't have a good understanding of the development process, who were clearly in politics to be in politics. Not getting into details, but we finished the building, we constructed it, had a grand opening, and we wanted the mayor to be there and the new head of the housing authority and this whole thing, and we called and we made these plans and reservations, and they said, oh, well, we need this and security and blah blah blah, so we do it, right? We do everything that they asked for. We set it up. We made times. We sent the program to them back and forth. I'm running around doing all this stuff. Now, listen, administrative party planning, not my thing. At the fuck all. Right? Like, way not my thing to fucking set up a fucking ribbon cutting. I was furious that I even had to fucking do it. But I did it. So
sorry, I'm not envisioning you cutting lamb over Easter. Another topic. Again,
another topic for inside another story. So, this is not my thing. But we do all this stuff. We get it all together. We get members of the state Congress and the state house, and we get a lot of people there, people who've got a vested interest in this from banks and all this other stuff. No one from the city shows up.
Okay.
Mayor, no one, like, and they literally, like, they made us do all this. We had to have all the security, additional security. We called, you know, Baltimore, I think Baltimore, we had Baltimore PD there, and this whole thing, okay. It was a whole thing with them. She doesn't show. No call, no nothing, no, hey, sorry, I couldn't make it. Like, she's...
No, sending a delegate who says, okay.
Nothing.
I know, when you told me you wanted to talk about this, I did not know you had a personal history with
them. Oh, yes. Right, I sat in her office, and because there's certain things, when you're doing a development like this, you know, when public housing goes to private, like, there's certain things where all of a sudden it wasn't... It was tax exempt and now it's not. So there's certain things we're looking for in terms of taxes and, you know, whether it's a tax abatement or reduced taxes, all those sort of things. And, you know, places like Baltimore, Cleveland, those conversations aren't always held with the people they should be held with. And it's just like, it's the mayor's decision, right?
Okay.
And so those are, you know, like you're trying to have those conversations and you realize like this person is not on your side, right? And I'm not trying to do anything sketchy. I'm not trying to build, you know, I'm not trying to build a factory on right. top of an orphanage.
You're not trying to do Ben Stiller at Happy Gilmore where old people are knitting things to be sold.
Right.
Arts and crafts have been expanded by 8 hours today.
Nope. Literally just trying to, Baltimore was...
Was that reference too obscure or no?
No, okay, you're cool. Good. But Baltimore had a really bad problem in terms of their public housing. I mean, it was awful. It was one of the worst in the country. And, you know, our job was to go in there and to help fix that. And she really had wanted nothing to do with it. And so all that to tell you, bitch got raided.
I was just like, now we need to cut to the chase, Steve.
Them Alphabet boys came in and knocked her fucking door down.
And you were clearly very distraught by this. I had no idea that's where this was going. So
FBI came in and kicked the door in.
So why did they kick her door in?
Okay, so apparently she sat on the board of a medical school and set this deal up where the medical school had to distribute this book that she wrote called Healthy Holly, right? Like they paid her X amount of dollars and then they then had to take her shitty book that she wrote and then distribute and sell it on their campus, right? And it's just like, you can't do that, right? Like you can't fucking strong arm deals.
But you can in college. Every book was strong armed. Right, the fact that this is happening from the fucking mayor's office.
Right, you can't be the mayor and sitting on the board of the school. And so they're just like investigating it. She didn't cooperate. She got raided, and then now they're saying. I guess she allegedly fled the state.
Oh, this is I did all right.
So
I didn't know any of this. This is awesome.
So I guess she had like a bout of pneumonia, and her lawyer's just like, well, she's not lucid right now. So she personally can't make the decision to resign because she's still recovering from pneumonia and being crazy. So, you know, she's having a tough go. Yeah.
That's awesome.
She's going down in a ball of flames, and I'm just ecstatic.
And you're looking to light a cigar from that ball of flames. Oh, my God.
Yes. Light a Cuban cigar. Which I'm going to Mexico.
You're going to Mexico. We can talk about that too. So we'll talk about when you get back.
Yeah.
All right. Or maybe even not then. All right, man. Want to do some sports talk? You got anything else to say about?
No, man. Mayor Pew.
I had no idea how much joy you were going to take in this or why. But she's that's such, awesome.
Oh God, I can't stand that woman. Her or the woman she put in charge of housing. Ugh, God, they're both. See you next Tuesdays.
Right. And okay.
We'll see you next Tuesday in court.
All right. So last night was fun. You and I got to hang out. We got to the first round of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I was okay with who the Bills drafted. You were okay with the Steelers moving up and drafting.
Pause.
Okay. You were excited.
I was excited about Devin Bush. I was not excited about what the motherfucker wore to the draft. He looked like a character from fucking Mortal Kombat. I don't know what the fuck. Like, I couldn't tell if his shoulder was dislocated or I didn't know what
people,
I was seeing.
We either need to post this or people need to look it up. But if you look at what Devin Bush wore, yeah, it looked.
I tweeted it. Okay. It's on our Twitter account. I'm sure you can also just find it in general. It was so ridiculous. Black, white, shoulder thing. I don't know. But the kid can ball. I think he should be a good fit for the Steelers. replacement for Ryan Shazier, who had a really devastating injury a couple years ago, or early 2017. So, you know, but I had a good time with that. You know, it's amazing.
But you made a comment to me last night that I thought was interesting, because we're at a bar in Cleveland, mm-hmm. and Cleveland did not have a first round pick.
Right, and the way the NFL draft works now is that the first round is shown on the first night, which is Thursday night. Then tonight is Friday, so they'll only show the second round, and then second and third tonight, and then the rest of the draft is Saturday.
Yep.
So, you know, what's amazing is, like, you're right. Like, Cleveland didn't have a first round pick, but yet the bar we were in, and multiple bars, they were filled to the brim
with people, and there were other things to watch, but the sound was on right. for the draft.
The Indians are playing. The Columbus Blue Jackets are playing in a right. playoff game, you know, in the NHL, and yet the sound is on for the NFL draft in Cleveland, who we didn't have a first-round pick, or Cleveland didn't have a first-round pick, and it wasn't the only bar in Cleveland, and it wasn't the only bar in an NFL city that was filled to the brim. And what I think is interesting about that is where we are now, right? I mean, think back to 18 months, 2 years ago with Trump, Kaepernick, Trump versus the NFL, Breitbart versus the NFL, conservatives versus the NFL. Everybody right. wanted the NFL to go away, and that the GOP and conservatives and Trump and everybody, they were going to sink the NFL because they were so powerful. And conservatives were going to stop watching football, Jim. And they did. They stopped and they boycotted.
Right.
Right. And it was going to kill the NFL. The NFL was going to lose money, Jim.
So last night the draft was held in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I've never been to Nashville.
So where they had the draft they had it on like Broadway, right? And okay. Broadway is like a famous strip in Nashville. And it was packed wall to wall.
That's what I was going
to say. 200,000 plus people.
It reminded me of New Year's Eve in New Orleans when I was there, like in the early 90s. Like, I'd never been in a crowd so right. tight.
Now, part of that, though, is I will put an asterisk there and say that they're also having a music festival in Nashville this same weekend. So, okay. And country music is huge in Nashville. But nonetheless, like, the draft still attracted a shit ton yeah. of people.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and
so listen, the notion that the NFL is dying because of the Trump thing.
The NFL is not dying. Trump and the conservatives and Breitbart did nothing. In fact, I think
even your girl, who was the girl from Sirius that called for a boycott to the
Karen Hunter.
Karen Hunter, thank you.
Right, because you had the conservatives who were boycotting, and then you had the black people who were boycotting because of Colin Kaepernick. Okay, well,
No one's boycotting it, right?
I mean, the NFL is doing better than it has in the last, you know, like three or four years combined. You know, they released the schedule this year, and teams and cities were doing schedule reveal parties, like they were doing gender reveal parties for their newborn baby,
or their soon to be born baby.
Right. Right, but that's literally what it was like, right? Like, it's just like, okay, the NFL said you can't release the schedule until such and such time, and teams literally had things on their website, they had on their channels, they had things at bars, like Cleveland, the whole city, like, it was so bad that in Cleveland, someone released a fake NFL schedule, right, that gave Cleveland like 10 home games.
I didn't know.
And their away games were all with like shitty teams, and they had like seven primetime games on like Sunday night.
17-0 in a 16 game
season. Yeah, it was crazy. But I mean, that's where the NFL is, and
they own us as entertainees,
right? And I think it's important to realize. I mean, if you're not a sports fan, right, and you're just a politico or you're just an academic, it drives you nuts. Right, like, this isn't making anything better. I've never needed a football player in my life, but I've needed an electrician, a plumber, and a scientist, whatever. Okay, sure. Fine. But, I mean, it drives people insane, and they don't want to like it, and fine, but you still have a third of the U.S. population that is obsessed about this game, and it just goes to show you how powerful it is. And I don't know if that's good or bad, right? I mean, it's probably not great, but I mean, it's just real.
Right.
And I love it.
I mean, again, I will talk about how the NFL's product is worse now than it used to be, and better in some ways, worse in a lot of ways. But name a Sunday I've missed watching a Bills game.
Right.
I think I've missed two Bills games since 1980, 8.
Right. Like, I had to come in. I had to, the only way to find you on a Sunday, I have to go and sit in a hot ass basement of a sketchy ass bar in Cleveland.
It's not the only way to find me, however, if you do that, you will find me. Warren Road Tavern. No, not Warren Road, sorry. Third place on Warren Road in Cleveland if you're looking for a Bills game. So the NFL is so fucking good at marketing. I mean, they got us to sit in a bar and watch something last night that was not even, you know.
I thought it was thrilling.
It was kind of fun. But the NFL has also had some problems recently, and one of them revolves around. All right, so also related to the NFL, Tyreek Hill was accused of domestic violence and hurting his kid.
Child abuse.
Yeah, child abuse. He's a 4-year-old boy, and allegedly Tyreek Hill broke his kid's arm,
the kid has a broken arm. Okay. We know that for sure.
Right.
What we don't know is who did it.
Right.
And the county that they're in Missouri, they come out and they say, listen, we know something happened. We think it was criminal, but we can't prove it. You know, no one will talk. You know, Hill won't flip on the girlfriend or the fiance. Fiance won't flip on Hill. And, you know, all we've got is the word of a kid under the age of 5. So, right. if they even have that much, because I don't know what the kid told the police. And so, last night, Thursday night, we were watching the draft. As it's starting to wrap up, an audio file is leaked to the press of allegedly Tyreek Hill and his fiance going through an airport in Dubai, and she says, "You did it, you know. You know the way you discipline him. He's terrified of you. The kid said, 'Daddy did it.'" You know, she talks about Hill, you know, pulling the kid's arms apart and punching him in the chest when he cries.
Which is fucking crazy to me.
Right.
I mean, fucking A.
And you know, she says, you know, your son is scared of you. And he...
Your son's terrified
of you. And he says, you need to be terrified of me, bitch. Right? Like, I mean,
Yeah.
And so the whole conversation, is it enough to say that he did what the police accused him of? I don't know. I could argue, you know, I mean, there's some evidentiary standards there that I don't know if that tape is going to meet the scrutiny of. So criminally, what can be done? I don't know, right? I mean, can you make a case for it? Yeah, sure. But I can't guarantee that, right? But what I can say is NFL, Kansas City Chiefs aren't bound to the same rules. Right, they're not bound to those same laws.
You're right. The evidentiary standards not the same.
Right,
and listening to that video or that audio was gross.
Right,
I mean,
and so what you can say, like, I mean, from a conduct standpoint, listen, your conduct on that audio file is enough for us to say we don't want you to be a part of this team anymore. Adios, and the league could say we don't want you in this league anymore. Adios, goodbye, and be done with them.
And that's what you think should happen.
Yep.
Okay.
I got no patience for this guy. Before he was drafted, he had an incident with a pregnant girlfriend. I don't know if it's the same girl, but he beat the shit out of a pregnant girl, out of his pregnant girlfriend. So I have no patience for him. And I'm all about second chances. He got his second chance, and apparently he blew it. And I don't really give a fuck if he can. If I don't care. And I don't care what he has to say.
Hurting a 4-year-old child is something that's going to stick in your head.
I have a 4-year-old daughter, and if someone did that to my daughter, I would literally murder them. Period.
Yeah.
And the idea,
I might help you,
right?
And B, I do not doubt a word that just came out of your mouth,
right? Like, and the idea
actually, that this probably just let you kick the shit out of him and stop short of murder just to reduce the charges.
I'd let my murder bird do it. The idea
murder
that
birds.
The idea, that this guy beats his kid because he doesn't like the sound of his kid crying, right? Like
I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah, so did I
grew
I.
up in that.
So did
but
I.
But there's one thing I did not grow up in an abusive house.
Nah, listen, I got hit with a belt. I got hit with a belt. My mom did once throw a can of spaghetti sauce at me, and I will be honest, I deserved it. But that's
spaghetti sauce. I don't know. I have a problem with your mom doing that. Spaghetti sauce should not come out of cans,
I fully
jars,
agree.
Or made in the soup.
But I just, listen. I got no patience for this guy, and I didn't have patience. I don't have patience for him. I didn't have patience for Greg Hardy.
Right. I mean, there's certain things where, like, we talked about Ezekiel Elliott, and that story ended up being a totally different. Exactly. It ended up being a totally different animal.
Right. Like, and, I mean, one, the girl, I mean, the girl lied about him. I mean, he got, I mean, that right. was different.
But, exactly. That's what I'm saying is, you know, not every NFL player is guilty. Not right. everyone's innocent. But this sounds disgusting. And I'm with you. I mean,
he should, listen, I you don't have the right to play in the NFL. You don't have the right to be a lawyer as a state's attorney. You don't have the right to be a banker.
Mayor of Baltimore.
You don't have the right to be the mayor of Baltimore or the mayor of that dude down in Florida who was doing drugs and illegal surgeries and shooting at SWAT teams, right? You don't have a right.
That was a while. That was a great story.
It was a great story. You don't have a right to be that to do any of this shit, right? So if your behavior warrants your removal, then it does, right?
And if you're in the NFL, your huge paycheck comes from the fact that 70,000 people will pack themselves in a stadium to watch you play ball, and if your conduct is, you know, detrimental to our ability to sell that product, another reason for you to be. I mean, I'm not trying to make it all about money, but that's legit, isn't it?
No, the money is absolutely key, right? I mean, it just people are obsessed about it. It's what drives people. The people who don't like the NFL and don't like the NBA, the reason why they don't like it is because they don't like the idea of who is playing it and the money that they get, right? I mean, it's just it's the idea of, you know, I don't like, you know, not wanting your neighbor to make more money than you do, right? I mean, it just drives certain people insane that...
Those people definitely exist. I don't know if that's the biggest driving factor, but those people definitely exist.
I don't know, man. I just like some of these arguments. I mean, like people will literally look at the. They're just like, oh, he got a speeding ticket in Naples, Florida. He should be banned from the league. Like you, like
those
I mean,
people
like,
do exist. I'm you, not gonna
you,
argue
and,
that.
I mean, and you know what it is, right? I mean, it's just yeah, like they're no, just pissed that league. These young black like guys are making tons of money. Sure. Fucking shit ton of money. Right, they went to school to get a fucking degree in sociology, and they're mad that they're, you know, like sure. getting outperformed by these guys. I mean, we get it. Like, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's a different argument for a different day. And you brought up the Mortal Kombat during this show, and you brought it up when we were having a few shots before the show at the bar, because Mortal Kombat has come out with a new version. Right, which so I know nothing about.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat 11, which is a game, you know, I'm 38. So when Mortal Kombat made its debut, I believe, on Sega Genesis, it was unbelievable. You do the finishing move and, you know, Sub-Zero would freeze you and break you into pieces. Scorpion would rip your heart out. It just like the finishing moves were amazing and it was incredibly violent and everybody loved it. So fast forward to today, they have... A black character who, if you win the game with him, you amass all these powers. And so it's just this video sequence that plays out once you win the game. And what happens in his video sequence is he goes and makes it so that slavery, the enslavement of black people from Africa never happens. Right? Like, okay. Seems like a...
Yeah, hey. If you've had all the power in the world, you
right.
might do
That'd
something
cool.
similar.
That'd be cool. I mean, like, who knows how history turns out if the enslavement of Africans by Europeans brought to, you know, America and Europe and Central America, that never happens, right? People are pissed.
That is a weird thing to think about in terms of
right,
what,
like,
what
I
the
mean,
world
how,
would be.
Right, how would the world look? Well, but, people are pissed, and they're saying that it's racist because... He didn't end all slavery. He only ended the black slavery, and that makes him racist and the game racist, and it's unacceptable.
Okay.
It blew up on Twitter, right? There are people who are pissed about it that it was, you know, it shouldn't, you know, basically the, well, if black lives matter, then all lives matter. No, it's literally yep. that argument. It's ridiculous. It's one, it's just a game, and it's this one guy, this one particular character. Who is a fake character on a video game where people get their heads ripped off and says, hey, if I could go back in time, I would make it so people who look like me don't get enslaved, right? And somehow that has turned into a bad thing for certain you know, group of the population.
I have not listened to Ben Shapiro's show in a while. I wonder if this will make it into his next, I'm not really racist, but this is not fair and I'm being discriminated against bullshit kind of thing. All right, so first of all, I agree with you. It's a video game. I think if you were to ask, you know...
Jim, if I went back in time and I could make it so slavery never existed...
You'd do it.
Would you be mad at me?
No,
I would. If I only did it for Africans and blacks.
I mean, what? All right. So, what is this other enslaved group that they're trying to protect? Indentured servitude? Is that what?
No, I mean, listen. There's slavery all over the world.
Go back to biblical times, and
I mean, you've got large groups of enslaved people, and if you include, especially once you get into like sex trade and everything else. Yeah. Like, slavery is something that's been around. There's been a lot of groups of people enslaved over the course of history. But, I mean, in recent history, in the last 300 years, there's an argument to say that the Africans and blacks have kind of got it the worst.
Yeah. And, right? and the
I'm sure there's someone out there who'll say, oh, this group of Aborigines, I don't know.
Whatever. Let me just say that the idea that someone would get mad that would be your goal, like, hey, people I relate to, thinking back generations where they were literally treated like property and brutalized, I would end that. To say, well, if you don't end it for everybody, you're not fucker enough.
Right.
That's just all I can say is, if I was a Jew, I would say, and even though I wasn't, but, you know, I would try to have stopped the Holocaust, right? Yes, exactly.
Look, if I can go back and change anything, let's make sure this Hitler guy doesn't rise to power.
Right. You know, and that doesn't make you a bad person towards the rest of the world. It's like, this is what I relate to, my family, my history, my whatever,
recognizes this. If I can go back in history, I'm going to go push this Hitler guy off a ladder while he's painting.
Right.
Right. And problem solved.
Yep.
Right. No.
And if I'm a Cuban, I'm going to say, you know what, Fidel, not my guy. Although what was before him wasn't much better. But anyway. So, yeah, to relate to people that you, or to act in a way that relates to people that you are associated with is not racism.
No.
And here's the idea that people are going to bet on a shape of this.
So we have one last topic.
Murder birds.
All right. So, Jim, here's a question.
Yes.
There are two birds in nature that get the nickname murder birds.
Right.
There's the shoebill crane.
Right.
And the cassowary.
You're correct.
Right. Now, they both...
Now, we only know about this from recent conversations.
Okay,
set the table with this.
So, what happened was, I was taking Jim... I was taking Jim to the post office.
Which sounds weird. It's really not. We were going to get drinks afterwards and stuff.
Because you had to go mail your taxes and
tax check.
Because you literally wait till the last day to do your taxes.
I do. Fucking literally.
Okay, fine. I'm taking Jim to mail his taxes, and we're listening to the radio, and we hear about this guy who gets killed by a bird, right? And then the last thing we hear before it goes off as we're in the car, something about murder birds. And I'm like, Jim, look up a murder bird. What the fuck is that? Right, so we look up this bird, and he comes up with the shoebill crane, right? And it's just awful bird, right? It's got this giant
tall
bill that looks like his beak, it looks like a slipper made of something hard. And you read about this bird, and it can cut off another animal that it eats.
Crocodiles.
Right, it can kill a crocodile. Period. Right? Like, that's it can kill a crocodile or an alligator. This is not an exaggeration or a hyperbole. Look up shoebill crane, murder bird, and it can kill animals that are big, and it looks awful. Right? So then we're just like, oh, that's the official Whiskey Congress mascot. Animal.
Yep.
Right? So then this other story comes out, which I think is actually the original story that we were hearing, but we didn't hear it, about this guy who owned this bird called a cassowary, and this cassowary ends up killing him. And the coroner's report was like, killed by bird.
Do not taunt these birds. These birds do not have a sense of humor. I'm like, you don't know that.
Apparently.
They might actually have a great sense of humor while they're murdering you.
He sounds like he knows what he's talking about, considering the guy ended up dead on his table.
So the way these things killed him is they have a spike on their leg, similar to a spur on a turkey.
Yep.
That But it's already huge. Punctured. Yeah, it's like 5 inches long. It already punctured the guy's chest, and they found him dead. And the beauty of it not beauty of it, sorry. But the funny thing, I don't know that. Anyway, they're auctioning the bird.
Terrible idea.
So you can buy the bird that murdered its previous owner.
Seems like a bad idea.
I want to buy it.
Although, what I would really like to do is I want to get a shoebill crane, I want to get a cassowary, and I want to put them in the same room.
Lock them in the studio.
No, that's not a good idea. Put them in the guest room.
Okay. And then you'd rather be in here. You stay in the guest room sometimes.
Fair. Put them in the basement. And we need to block off the basement. Then we need to see what happens.
I am all about this.
Although, I'm pretty sure
it ends with a shoebill crane.
I don't know how to buy a shoebill crane or a cassowary.
No, we know. They're on auction today. The cassowary is on auction today. Right. They are selling that bird.
Jim, I put it in the bin. You realize if we put a bin in and we win this bird, which is probably tens of thousands of dollars, aside from the fact that we have to now pay for said bird, chances are it ends up with one or both of us dead. Right? Like, and here's the thing. If it ends up with both of us dead, there's no one to tell the story how we were murdered by a murder bird.
So, I just love the fact that it's called a murder bird.
I do too.
That is so great.
And I mean, love that there's two that you can get
confused. Two different kinds of birds that murder
that
people.
That if you own one, you shouldn't. And if you do, you might get murdered.
You know, when Mike Tyson had his thing with tigers, and I mean, a tiger is a terrifying animal.
Yep.
But they're at least mammals. You know, like, they have some, I don't know, cuddliness to them. Who buys a bird that can stab you through your heart?
I don't know, bro.
I mean, you know, these birds are basically, they're flightless, so they're basically ostriches with gangsta weapons.
They both look like dinosaurs.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I feel like if you want to get to Jurassic Park, it's gonna somehow involve one or both of these murder birds and, you know, some bones from an old thing that they found with marrow in it still. We're going to get Jurassic Park, and it's going to be the end of the world. Just telling you.
Death by murder birds. Okay, so the episode of the show, the name of this episode of the show is Murder Birds.
Murder Birds, and period. And murder bird should be the official bird of Whiskey Congress? The cassowary or the shoebill crane. I think we'll put that on a poll on Twitter.
I like this idea.
I will put it up for a week. Now, I will be in Mexico taking a little vacay. I'll be on the Pacific side. So I'll be incommunicado. But we'll still figure out a way to record next week.
We will, whether we bring someone in.
Or maybe it's just me recording on the beach.
Or in my villa. You know what? We should do that.
Or in the man-made lagoon.
I hope you have a good vacation. I'm kind of the start of your vacation, right?
Yes.
You and I had lunch and had a few
beers. I had a margarita before. Earlier.
You did. So you're ready for Mexico. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter.
If I get kidnapped by a cartel, you have to get me out.
I will do everything I can. Include up to and including hiring Denzel for Man on Fire.
We have our own. You can call Mike Wood. We'll set our differences aside. Mike Wood can save me from the cartel. Right.
And he can talk to us about Baltimore, because we did talk about Baltimore, not mention him. But I would
like to talk to him about that, because I'm curious about his thoughts on that.
He as a 11-year Baltimore police officer, he knows plenty, and I should reach out to him this week.
Fair.
You know what? We'll see if he listens to our show this week and says, call me, or tells me to fuck off. Either way, thanks for listening. We are out of here.
Peace be with you.